Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, welcome to Point of View. My guest is Andy du Plessis. Andy, thank you so much for making time for us. So obviously, you are invited to this particular feature called Impact, where we speak to people who are making a difference in our community, in our country. Some well known, some may not be so well known. So you are one of those people who we thought are an amazing South African, and we needed to celebrate. So welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Andy, let's talk a little bit about your current initiative, Food Forward SA, because I'm going to also go back a bit much later on in this conversation, going back to how you started. But let's talk about Food Forward SA. What is it, and what was the initial plan with Food Forward SA?
So the organization started out in a small scale kind of way, where a young lady by the name of Bianca, she used to work in the film industry, and she saw all the food after the film shoots were done, all the food that had gone to waste, and was just being dumped in bins, and she thought, no, let me do something about this. So she started an organization called Feedback Food Redistribution. And what she did was, and she gave up a full-time job and started this NPO. And then she went to various farm sites to collect good edible surplus food from these farm sites and then dropped it off at charitable organizations that could use them. And it grew so well that, she got to a group of people with her. And out of that, Food Forward SA was formed in 2009.
Mm. And how did it then develop from there?
Yeah, so what we did was we this was before I joined, because I joined in 2013. But in 2009, our board reached out to an organization called the Global Food Banking Network in Chicago. And they came down and gave for the next year, assisted on how to form a food bank, step by step, held our hands, and went through the process of how we can at scale implement this model called food banking, which has been implemented all over the United States and all over Europe, and so the board formed. Formed a task team to work and get funding for the project. We approached the Department of Social Development at the time. Minister Zola Squehia was the Minister of Social Development, and we were able to guarantee funding for that first few years of initialization. And then the hard work started of working with farmers, getting farmer contacts so that we could engage with them to get their within-date edible surplus food, after their harvest, and then working with manufacturers and retailers as well. So it was a bit of a slog setting it up, but 9 years later, we've got a branch in every one of the 9 provinces, and we work with just over 100 farmers, manufacturers, and retailers, collecting edible surplus food that would have gone to waste, but that's still edible. And we're able to use that to address the problem of food insecurity in South Africa. Mm.
And, it's one thing to have a sense of how desperate the situation is. I mean, since you've started with the Food Forward SA, has things gotten worse? Have they gotten worse? What's your sense of the current situation now?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So yes, I joined in 2013, and over the last of this year will be my 12th year with the organization. Over the last 12 years, all we've seen was that things have gotten worse. Food insecurity has increased. The number of child malnutrition statistics has increased. The number of unemployed people has increased, as you know. The amount of jobs available has decreased. So over the last 10, 12 years, we have seen food insecurity grow. To give you just an example, in around 2013 when I joined, the malnutrition statistics for children under 5 was around the 27% mark. Today, it's at 29%, so it is edging upwards. That means around a third of the children under 5 years old in our country, one third is undernourished, malnourished, and not getting the proper nutrition they need. So things have progressively gotten worse, and the scenario today is, as you know, food price increases have just crippled ordinary households battling to stay afloat, trying to make ends meet and put food on the table.
I mean, when you put it that way, things are getting worse, more unemployed people are more food insecure, stunting, we've heard also of those stats growing in young children. Your sense of a sustainable solution, having been on the ground for so long?
Yeah, absolutely, Pamela. So our view is this. If we were to take, there's roughly, according to stats, they say roughly 20 million people that experience food insecurity for protracted periods of time. So if you take 20 million people and you had to provide just one cooked meal every day, to be able to buy or procure that food would cost in the region of about 25 to 40 billion rand on an annual basis. And that's not sustainable because, you know, you can't fund that kind of level of food insecurity. But when you take the food banking model, in South Africa, over 10 million tons of mostly edible surplus food is lost or wasted across the food supply chain, what we call the food system or the value chain. That's 10 million tons of food. So if we were to just recover roughly 5 million tons, 50% of that 10 million tons, we would be able to provide two meals to 30 million people every single day. And this is where the sustainable model of the food banking model comes in. What we are doing and proposing is to make sure that we timeously recover this edible surplus food across the food system at various stages, and then get this to communities that need it. And what the food is doing is, the food we provide is going to organizations that focus on education, skill development, youth programs for unemployed youth, shelters for women and children that are vulnerable and that are at risk, and young girls that are at risk as well. So this is where the food is going. And so we are saying we're solving two problems. The first is, we are diverting food away from landfill, which is causing huge amount of greenhouse gas emissions and climate factors like climate change. And then we are using that food to address the problem of food insecurity and malnutrition in a constructive way that strengthens communities through our partnerships with nonprofit organizations across South Africa.
Andy, I know for some time one of the issues was legislation. Legislation that made it difficult for people to donate food, especially restaurants who didn't want to find themselves in problems of food that may be contaminated and will get somebody sick and so on. You know the story. There have been calls for legislation to be amended so that people freely then are able to offer food without the anxiety of a court case, you know, and being in trouble.
Yes, absolutely.
Where are we with all of that?
Yeah, so we are talking here about the liability issue. And it still is a real issue because liability is embedded in the Consumer Protection Act, and it protects consumers, and it's there for a good reason. However, we've made some really, really exciting progress. Over the past year, we've been working with the South African Bureau of Standards, not just ourselves, but industry partners from the supply chain, like Woolworths, Tiger Brands is sitting on there, the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa is sitting on the STAR scheme. And over the past year, we've been working and putting together what we call the South African National Standards. In short, it's called a SANS in South Africa, which is guidelines coming from the South African Bureau of Standards. So we've been putting together a document that will provide guidelines around food donation. So what types of food may be donated, under what circumstances, when you should you look at dates around best before versus sell by, etc. So that piece of work will come to an end at the end of February. And in March, we'll have our first for South Africa, a published document around food donation guidelines for South Africa from the South African Bureau of Standards. What that document will do is it will give more clarity and more guidelines to organizations like restaurants, like manufacturers that would like to donate that but are concerned around liability issues. It will give them peace of mind because they have a framework under which they can adhere to in terms of what they may donate, under what circumstances, and that will be our guiding document going forward. So we anticipate that that document will be able to be spread across the food system, and we should be able to see more food being diverted away from landfill to address this problem of food insecurity and malnutrition in South Africa.
How do we get ordinary households, Andy, to be a part of the solution? So I may be, for instance, I'm going away for a week, right? I have got perfectly, you know, okay bread, and I don't know what to do with it. I don't know who to give it to. Or maybe it's not just one bread. It's more than that. I've had a big party in my house. Instead of 20 people arriving, maybe 15 people arrived, and I've got the surplus. And I would like to donate it. How do we as ordinary South Africans get to a point where automatically we know what to do with the excess food while it's still good to offer?
Yeah, Tamela, again, another good question. You certainly have done your research with regard to this, and it's great having this conversation. So of the 10 million tons of food that's wasted on an annual basis across South Africa's food system, around 18% of that is household waste. Mm. So it's a huge amount of food that's going to waste and going to landfill, causing huge amounts of environmental degradation. So what we advise households to do is a few things. Firstly, when you do go shopping, buy only what you need for a few days and rather go more frequently to your local store and pick up only what you need for a few days. That way you don't have a surplus of stuff that's going to go off and that you have to dump in landfill. Mm. The second thing is, if you do see and you have to regularly do an audit of your pantry, of where your food is stored, and when you do see you're not going to use certain items, donate those to local charities or come donate them and drop them off at Food Forward SA, and we will get it to where it's needed. That's number two. Mm. And the third thing is, as far as possible, buy your stuff locally, close to where you are. Buy from a green grocer your fruits and vegetables and somewhere close by so that your carbon footprint is not that hectic. And then again, buy only what you need for a few days. Don't avoid the specials where they say three pockets of potatoes for a bargain. You're not going to use those three pockets. You're going to discard more than half of that. So only buy what you need for a few days and rather go more frequently to the shops and do a regular audit of what's in your fridge, your freezer, and in your pantry.
You know, the scary part about all of this, Andy, is that people are not getting jobs. You know, the situation is not looking good. And one feels almost quite helpless in a way. There are also people who have their little gardens at home, where it's not somebody who's looking to go into the trade. And maybe my tree is going to feed me more than I can cope with, you know, my lemon tree or whatever the case may be. And again, I suppose we need to find a way in which we can have a community of people that are able to say, we can then bring you, Andy, what the surplus is, because we don't necessarily use everything that falls off the tree. You know, it's nice. I've got my little garden, but sometimes I've got only a specific period to use and consume what's there. And then before you know it, everything rots and falls onto the ground. And then I have this unfortunate loss of food.
Yeah. Sorry, is there a question there?
Well, it's more a comment, because I think what we haven't been able to do, Andy, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, is to, in our normal daily lives, just innately know that if I have leftovers, I can give. And there's a safe way to do it. And how do we make sure that we are able to do this responsibly and that we are able to do this consciously without even thinking twice? You know, I have a lunchbox. I didn't get to it. I don't want to throw it away. I'm not likely to have it tomorrow. I should be able to know where is my next drop off point.
Yes, yes. No, I think there are a few things need to be borne in mind. There has to be a mind shift from ordinary South Africans around how we use how we use food and our relationship with food. Mm. I think there must be a mind shift because, you know, when we start to understand the cumulative effect of our actions and the destructive actions that they are to our environment, we will start to think differently. So we are running out of landfill space across South Africa. Our landfills are filling up fast, and there's no new areas where we can set up new landfill sites. So what government is doing at the moment, they are introducing organic waste to landfill bans. So they are all on the way. In the Western Cape, for example, in 2022, there's already a 50% organic waste to landfill ban. And by 2027, there will be zero organic waste to landfill that will be able to go to landfill. So we have to start thinking differently in terms of our relationship and how we use products and food and the cumulative effect thereof. So what people must understand is that if you're not going to eat the food that you have, there are always local resources in and around your community that need that food. Mm. There are people that are on street corners that you could pack a meal for. There's a local shelter or orphanage nearby that you can drop food at. But your relationship with food, the objective is do not throw food away in your bin at home or in your bin at work, and rather seek out local mechanisms and solutions where you can partner with and give that an onward pass that food on. But we're running out of landfill space. Our climate change is real, and it's impacting our environment, and we need to, and it's threatening food insecurity and biodiversity. So our relationship with food really needs to be rethought.
You know, you've given us a lot to think about, Andy, and I wonder whether we need to also give it a thought in terms of, can we plan to be part of the solution? In other words, not necessarily wait for food that is a surplus, but maybe planning, in our own planning, is there a way in which we can be a part of the system in a way that allows even shelters, people like yourselves, Food Forward, to say, to be part of your planning process, that I can say, okay, well, you know what? In my budget, I can offer you a bag of potatoes a week, for instance, you know, that kind of thing. Is there a way in which we can be more proactive?
Absolutely. So there are a few things you can do. The first is Food Forward SA has a network of over 2,500 registered and vetted beneficiary organizations across local communities that you can support if you have food available. So if you reach out to us, we can put you in touch with 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 organizations in close proximity within a 5-kilometer radius of where you are, and we can put you in touch with them, and then you can, on a regular basis, you can visit them. If you do an audit of your fridge and freezer and pantry once or twice a week, you can empty that out and you can get that to your local charity. So that's the first thing you can do. The second thing you can do is organize people in your neighborhood. So the people next to you, the people in your road, the people in the roads around you. Organize some people that know of organizations and that have the time available to be able to collect food from neighbors and drop those off at local charities that are nearby. So have a local a group of neighborhood husbands and wives that can just come together on a weekly basis and say, it will be my turn this week to pick up. I'll collect at 5 or 6 homes, and I'll drop it off at that local creche or at that local shelter or that local orphanage, you know. So you can organize yourself locally and just reach out to us. We'll put you in touch with organizations that would be more than happy to take that food off your hands. And again, in your local, if there are local businesses that are also dumping food, put pressure on them and say there's a better way to do business and ask them to get in touch with Food Forward SA.
Andy, I just want to ask you, you know, what inspires you? It must be heartbreaking. It is, I'm sure, rewarding, but absolutely heartbreaking to see the magnitude of the problem and the scale of the need. Yeah. You know, just what keeps you going?
Sure, that's a very good question. I've been involved in the nonprofit sector for more than 30 years. It's where I've spent and dedicated my entire life to focusing on finding out how to strengthen local organizations so that they can do more in their local context. And for me, it's about the fact that together we can do more. We can't do what we do on our own. We have this network of generosity across individuals, across businesses that support our work. And so that's what inspires me, the fact that we have these huge challenges, but there are solutions and we can solve these problems in our time. We have an overproduction of food in South Africa. We produce more than enough food that's needed. Yet 20 million people are food insecure and 29% of our children are stunted or malnourished. That's unacceptable. So what drives me, what inspires me is that we have this ability to connect the dots, to work together, to make sure we come up with solutions to address these problems. And that's why we have these programs in our organization like Food Gardens Connect, where we teach people to grow their own food and we buy back the vegetables that they grow to make them more sustainable. We have a program reaching out to what we call our mother and child nutrition program, where we're focusing and targeting on children that are undernourished at clinics. So we're working with local clinics and with Polani Nutrition Center and with Grow Great to identify those children that are underweight and make sure that they get the proper nutrition they need until they exit malnutrition. For me to see a child that was underweight from birth or up to 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years old and then get assistance from Food Forward SA and our partners, social partners, to see them exit malnutrition and they're able to grow and develop, for me, that's worth fighting for and waking me up to fight another day.
And where did you get all this from? I mean, I know you've been in the sector for a long time, but it's not a job, man. You know what I mean?
No,
there are jobs. And then there are things that just are part of who you are.
Yeah. No, for me, it's a calling. And the reason why I have this urgency about me is because I grew up poor. I grew up with a single-parented household. My mother had to support myself and my brother. For many periods of time, she was unemployed, trying to look for work. And it was tough putting food on the table. So I know what it is like to go hungry. I know what it's like when parents struggle to put food on the table and they have that anxiety to make sure that their children's needs are cared for. And I want to make sure that as best I can, within my power and with the partnerships we have, that we make sure that we make life better for those that were in a position like me and many millions of others that are suffering like that. We can make a difference to those, and it's important that we do our best to try and do that.
Andy, we really appreciate what you do. It's not easy work, but it's very, very important work. Thank you for your commitment. Really appreciate what you do there.
Thanks,
at Food Forward SA. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. We appreciate it.
Excellent. Andy du Plessis is Managing Director at Food Forward SA.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.